Death. It's been on my mind lately. Our island has lost more than our fair share of model citizens in recent years. We're going to more celebrations of life than any of us would like. And it's never fun to go through the contacts on your phone and feel that little pang whenever you come upon a dead friend and have to click delete. But that's what you sign up for when you live in a small community. Everyone's going to draw the short straw at some point. I'm Jeff Hoyt. This is Hoytus Interruptus. For this episode, I want to share with you audio from a live event called Sunday Social Hour with the Rev, which included sketch comedy, live music, poetry, storytelling, and a somewhat irreverent sermon from my friend David. He asked me to come out and tell a story, so I thought I'd try to liven things up a bit with a few tales from when my parents died. Which might sound like a huge bummer on the surface, but that's not how my family does death. So here on the eve of Death Week, you're about to get that explained to you, here's me, a dozen years ago, at Open Space for Arts and Community, here on Vashon Island.
In. Out. My mom's breathing was slowing. In. Out. She was dying of cancer. It had been long, it had been slow, there had been ups, there had been downs, there had been hopes, there had been setbacks. But now my three sisters and I were gathered together in Massachusetts to be with her and my father at the end. We were complete rookies in the art of the death watch. In None of us, including my 70-year-old father, had ever sat in on the end of someone's life before. So after a week of waiting and watching, this felt like the moment. Out. Her loving family gathered around her. In. A pregnant pause. And then my mom opened her eyes and said, I'm still here. Such timing. Definitely achieving the desired effect. The entire room burst into laughter. My mom grinned. It was music to her ears. She left us the next day. That story, though, kind of encapsulates how my family does death. We tend to find reasons to laugh a lot. Because let's face it, the passing of a parent puts every emotion on display. Everything's up for grabs. It's a round trip to crazy town for just about any family because you are your original family unit again, and nerve endings are frayed, and old shit comes up, and there's chaos, and there's drama, and there's intensity. And these are, of course, all the building blocks of humor. Each of my parents died during the first week of April, 2 years apart. And my sister Ellen and I have come to call that week Death Week. She'll call and say, so going anywhere special for Death Week this year? No, it's always so hard to book a room, get reservations. You have to go so far in advance. I think I'll just stay home and mourn privately. You? My parents taught us to laugh at life at every opportunity we could. And since death is actually a part of life, we figured that's a fair game as well. And even though we lost our parents, we look back on these events with this odd mixture of both sadness and affection. We laugh so much, mostly at things that were far too personal or inappropriate to actually repeat into a microphone. But I will offer just a few snapshots here for you. A few days after my mom's memorial service in New England, about 25 of us, immediate family, cousins, close friends, we all caravanned down to Plymouth on Cape Cod Bay. That's where she wanted her ashes scattered. So we chartered the only boat big enough for all of us, a whale watch boat. It was cloudy and windy and wicked cold, as they say in Boston, although with a much more authentic accent. We got to the dock, and my cousin surprised us all with these bright red knitted gloves, courtesy of her employer. So now suddenly we have ourselves a corporate sponsor. This was now the Friendly's Ice Cream Joanne Hoyt Memorial Ash Scattering. So now, the entire day, the boat, even the captain, was brought to you by Friendly's. Homemade and handcrafted since 1935. The captain did learn to regret ever having shown me where the onboard microphone was. We motored out beyond the jetty, past the replica of the Mayflower, and out toward the lighthouse. We got to the place where it just felt like the place. And we stopped and got out on deck. My cousin Juan led a prayer. My cousin Sean read a poem. And then we each dropped handfuls of my mom's ashes onto the waves. And just then, the sun came out, bright and shiny. And the sunlight lit up the ashes into silver glitter as they drifted down through the water. It was beautiful. And then my father cast a single red rose out onto the water. Brought to you by Friendly's Ice Cream. We were late getting back to the dock, and as we approached, we could see this long line of tourists there standing on the dock. The captain told us that he'd gotten a radio call that there were a lot of people in that line that were very unhappy that their whale watch trip had been delayed. So I instantly took to the microphone and said, "All right, so here's our official family response in case anybody should be nasty enough to say anything negative to you as you get off the boat. First, apologize profusely for our thoughtlessness. And then tell them that we just wanted to spend a few extra minutes at the spot where we scattered our mother's ashes. Then say, good luck. I hope you see whales. Our mom loved whales." Two years later, it was my dad's turn. This was unexpected. We were told he only had a few days. He had fallen and he couldn't get up. And so we all got on four different planes from four different parts of the country, and we all flew, this time to Florida, which is where he wanted to spend his final years, fishing in the sun along the inland waterway. I was already there and was at the hospital with Dad. I was the first to arrive when my sister Ellen shows up. She gets off the elevator, steps up to the nurse's station, and asks which room Dad is in. And with all the compassion and sympathy in the world, the nurse looks at Ellen and says, "I'll take you right to him. May I just say, you look just like your father." "You mean I look like a dying 72-year-old man? Gee, thanks." This absolutely cracked Dad up, of course, which was part of the point. He loved Ellen's sense of humor. She could always make him laugh. And over those last 3 days, my sisters and I just kind of surrounded Dad, and we kept up this steady, kind of whacked out patter that I think kind of reassured him that he had, in fact, taught us well and provided this kind of soothing soundtrack for him as he weakened. The name that hung over his bed, Robert Hoyt. He hated that name. He always went by Bob. So every time a nurse would walk in and call him Robert, he would just grumble, "It's Bob, damn it." So we changed the name over his bed to read Robert, "It's Bob, damn it, Hoyt." After that, every new hospital staff person would walk in. We just go, "Oh, Gloria, this is our father. It's Bob, damn it. It's Bob, damn it, Gloria." And he loved his new name. On what proved to be his final day, we had been at the hospital nonstop, and we were pretty tired. We were also very hungry, but none of us wanted to dare leave his bedside, even the chance of a trip to the cafeteria, so we just ordered out for pizza. And a short time later, my Aunt Jenny noticed that Dad's breathing was starting to slow. And of course, we remembered this from a couple years earlier with my mom. So we phoned the pastor who had visited Dad just a few days earlier in the week and said he'd be there with him at the end. We said, "It's time, I think, and get on up here." And he said he'd be there in 5 minutes. Meanwhile, the staff nurse on the floor there called down to the hospital chaplain She had no idea that we had already made other arrangements, so she told him to get right up to the ward. So we get double the pastor power. They both walk in at exactly the same moment, just three or four breaths before the end. And we are all gathered around. We're just focused on Dad at this point. So all additional pastor power, we were totally good with that. So we joined hands around our father. We told him we loved him. And we quietly waited for the end. In. Out. In. Out. In. A knock at the door. Who ordered the pizza? Out. Most of us here will have or have already experienced the feeling of getting orphanhood thrust upon us. And I can tell you that grief is one of those equal opportunity emotions. You will find joy and levity in those events if you look for them. But all those other feelings are definitely going to assert themselves along your journey as well. I can tell you that. And that, of course, is as it should be. I'll miss my parents. I miss them now, but I'm really, really glad that we all had a chance to be there with them together at the end, and that they got both our laughter and our tears. 2 months after Dad's passing, we all gathered again in Massachusetts for his memorial service, and we took his ashes out to Cape Cod Bay, down to Plymouth, to the very same whale watch boat, and out to the very same spot where we'd been 2 years early. The captain remembered us. The tone for the day was set when we all walked down, before we boarded, we walked down for a glimpse at the famous, though small, Plymouth Rock. A group of teenagers are driving by as we're explaining the historical significance of this monument to our 6 and 8 year old children. And one of them yells, "It's just a fucking rock!" As we looked at it, you know, they're kind of right. The mortuary in Florida had given us a simple metal urn, engraved as we requested, "Robert, it's Bob, damn it, Hoyt." It wasn't until we were well underway, though, that somebody noticed that it was a sealed metal urn, the kind that was intended for burial or display, as opposed to ash scattering. It was going to take, like, a stick of dynamite to get inside this thing. But all the captain had on board was a can opener and a screwdriver. Then my 16-year-old niece, Michelle, whips out this 8-inch switchblade. "Will this help?" And the look on her father's face as he sees his switchblade for the first time was just, let's just say, we were laughing a lot harder than he was. After something like 15 minutes prying open the lid of this urn like a can of army rations, we finally got it open, and we looked past the jagged edges of metal down to the gray ash and the tiny flecks of bone. An involuntary hush fell on us all as we contemplated the transitory nature of human existence. And then Ellen said, "That's not my father." Thank you.
That's from Sunday Social Hour with the Rev, recorded in 2013. A dozen years later, my folks are still dead, nothing new on that front, and whenever I'm asked to stand up and talk about the deceased at a memorial or celebration of life, no matter how tragic the passing, just know, I'm definitely going for laughs. I think it's what fill-in-the-blank with the name of any of my friends or family members who have ever died or ever will would have wanted. From an island in the upper left-hand corner of the lower 48, that's Hoytus Interruptus. I'm Jeff Hoyt.